welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, this morning we're going to take care of some stuff, I believe. And we don't have a lot of time. I don't want to keep you for a long time. But today I want to talk about Jesus, the hope of the world. Jesus is our hope. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other way to get around it. Only Jesus and only the work of the cross and the resurrection is our hope for today and is our hope for tomorrow. Isn't that right? Do you believe it? Okay, let's talk about it. You know, when we consider the events of the last, we just need to really look at the last month, would you say? That's probably sufficient. We just need to look at the events, even in the last 4 weeks, and it's enough to us to propel or to sink some of us, and certainly those who don't know what it is to have a hope in the Lord, to sink us into a state of despair, depression, and a state of hopelessness. The world around us seems chaotic. It seems to be imploding on itself to the point where governments have no answer. Society, presidents, kings, and kingdoms cannot add any value or turn around what seems to be an ever-spiraling decay in society. Okay, I think we can all recognize it. We don't have to name the events. But there is a spirit of chaos. And there is a spirit of fear. And what comes with that is a spirit of hopelessness. Hopelessness where there is no hope. And if we were to park our belief system and pay attention to the carnal for more than a second, it would be very quick for us to come to the same conclusion. What on earth can be done to turn the tide of this decaying society, whether it's from the Middle East to the Islamic State, whatever you want to touch, whether it's governmental, whether it's economics, whether it's presidential, kings or kingdoms, whatever subject matter you wish to touch, is it the healthcare system? Whatever one you want to touch, you will not take long before you arrive at the point of hopelessness. Hopelessness is around and infilling society quicker than you can believe. You see, it only creates a spark in the right atmosphere and you have an explosion, right? And hopelessness seems, on one dimension, to be abounding. Now, as the church and as the redeemed of the Lord, we stand in the gap because we see something completely alternate to that hopelessness. And we don't want to give credence to it this morning, but just considering it for a moment, even the believer who maybe doesn't have that constant revelation and walking with the Lord can go from a state of hope to a state of hopelessness quite quickly. And we seem to live in a realm where it's cyclic. Okay, in other words, where at one day we're in a state of hope, and over a period of time, you'll find that whatever circumstances might be, it curls or dives into a state of hopelessness, and at some point it rebounds and it comes back out. And this is life. Hope, state of hopelessness, hope for a season, state of hopelessness, and on we go. And I want to tell you, whilst we can understand circumstances, situations can bring us to that place, we are missing it. There is a hope that transcends the hopeless. There is a hope that is higher than our imagination and our thought process of what we believe is right and good and what we need to live and sustain a happy, wonderful life. There is a hope that rises above that and takes us to a place where God lives. It's a place of euphoria. It's a place of ever happiness, ever after. Like a fairy tale in this one, except this one is real. And this is what I want to talk to you this morning about. So there is a strategy of Satan all around society today, across the face of the earth. What we're seeing on the news now is no longer a case of, yeah, this is our problem. New United Kingdom, yeah, this is a United Kingdom problem. Yeah, this is a European borders issue. Yeah, this is really a US foreign policy issue. What we're hearing now is language that says, this is a global issue. This is for everyone. This, we are fighting this all across the world. There are no boundaries to this attack or to this spirit of hopelessness. This is, there's no borders here. And that's not just with the terrorist side, it's economic, it's whatever else. So we're seeing a real pressing in, and we aren't to be surprised at that. The Bible clearly says, there's a strategy, even for the church and those who belong to the Lord, there's a strategy set against us, you and me, to wear out the saints, to take the saints to the spirit of the Antichrist is set against you and is set against me. It talks about the multiple of words that he would speak out and basically lambast the church. Those who love the Lord had come against with fierce words to the point where the saints would be worn out. That's the strategy of the Antichrist, is to wear out the saints. We see it in Daniel 7 when we're talking about end time prophetic, that the spirit of the Antichrist is set against the church to wear out the saints. And if he can wear out the saints, if he can hoodwink, I wonder why he has a strategy to hoodwink and set against the church. You ever wonder that? That's another preach. You see, the power of God, the revelation of who Jesus is, belongs to us. We have ownership of that. And because we possess it, the Bible says in Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory is Christ in us. Yeah. If we want to educate, if we want to tell society how to go from a state of hopelessness to a state of euphoria, it is Christ in us. Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. Colossians 1:27. There's our answer. But anyway, the church is the answer. There's a strategy against the church to wear out the saints. And in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, you'll know it well. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is the church. This is you and me. We are persecuted, but we're not destroyed. Amen. There is a hope. And whilst there's hope, the enemy's on the run. It may not seem like it. You might, with your carnal eyes, it may not appear so. But while there is hope, I'm talking about a different kind of hope, we're going there. This hope that I'm going to talk about a little bit more. Whilst there's hope, which is in the church, the devil's on the run. That strategy cannot succeed. Okay? So we keep hope alive because Jesus is alive. The Bible calls it a living hope. It is a hope that is a new hope, and it's a better hope. That's what the Bible says. It's a living hope. So looking at hope from a definition point of view, it says a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Right? So that's fair enough. The Strong's Concordance says it's similar to anticipate with pleasure and to have confidence in something or other, right? Well, so hope is, we use hope in many ways. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope to be there. And in many ways, it's more like a wish. All right, so there's a slight difference. Yes, yes, it sounds like a good idea. Maybe no real intention. I hope so, but there's no conviction. It lacks confidence. And it's a little more, if anything, than a wish, a sort of a casual statement, right? But hope is much more than that. The hope that we're going to move into here is much more than a casual statement. It's much more than a pondering. How many times have you heard this? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. What sort of hope is that? If that's the level of hope that we can have, well, you know, it's pretty lame, isn't it? It's pretty weak. I want a hope that has a whole backlash of expectation with it. Yes, it's a fact. Yes, absolutely. Hope. I hope. There's only one hope here. There's only one hope that lives in me. His name is Jesus. And yes, I am going to life eternal. That's the kind of hope that's kind of different from the, well, I hope so. It's a very different hope that I'm talking about. This is a hope that will turn hopelessness upside down. Amen. That bottom valley, that bottom curve goes from hopeless to hope in the twinkling of an eye when we receive the benefits and the blessing of the Lord. Amen. A new hope. Who's seen the Star Wars movie? Come on, Nathaniel. It's called A New Hope, and it was based around a galactic battle zone where you had the Republic. Am I right, Nathaniel? They were the evil regime set against the rebels' forces who were trying to turn the tide of an ever-expanding, dominant, evil king regime. Okay? And all this was happening somewhere out there. Okay, so what we need is a new hope. You see, any other hope is just not going to cut it. We have hopes and dreams, and we do have wishes. And if all the government can promote, and if all the healthcare and system can promote, and the economics is a hope here and a hope in this, and maybe we should expect something to change here, and we hope so, and all of it's going to do well for a season. How many times have we come around the same circle in our political affairs, even in Northern Ireland, my goodness, and it's the same thing over and over. Maybe repackaged a slightly different way, but it's the same. You see, really, there's nothing new under the sun. There are no real answers to many of our issues today. You know, you have a situation in your personal life today, a circumstance, and you quite often will look to this realm for your answer. I've done it. I do it. But the truth is, there are band-aids, and there's plenty of band-aids, but there's only one answer, and his name is Jesus. And he is our living hope. So I talked about a new hope. Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews 7, verse 19. Hebrews 7 and 8 talks about a better hope. When it goes on then to talk about a better covenant. And that covenant, of course, talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need him. It's not enough just to talk about his death. It's the resurrection that brings the power. Without the resurrection, there's no salvation. Without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. We need him, and we need the resurrection power that rose with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That is our hope, and it's hope eternal. Turn with me. It's just one scripture. Hebrews chapter 7, or if you have it up there. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope, a new hope. Jesus, our God, was bringing in a better hope than what society had ever dreamed or thought of or concocted or worked out ever in past. In fact, past, present, and future, this is the hope. The same hope that we're reading about here in Hebrews is the same hope that now is as powerful and forever will be as powerful as the day Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. And rose triumphant. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Jesus Christ, who is alive in you, is a living hope. If it's alive, that hope, it's a verb, it's doing something. The hope that dwells within you, should you receive Jesus Christ and his promises and believe in them, it's transforming you from the inside out. It's a living hope. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is our living hope. He is alive. And he holds the keys this morning. I believe there's somebody here that this message is for. He holds the keys to your future. That's a big statement. We've heard it many times in sermons. But hope and faith go together. And without hope, you can't have faith. You can't have faith without first having a hope. And it's the faith is almost the hope in action. But if you don't have that grounding and foundation of hope in your life, this Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that grounding of hope in your life, then faith doesn't have a bed to operate on. It doesn't have a foothold. We need him, and we need this hope. The resurrection power rose with Jesus, and we need that resurrection power. It is the reason why we have hope. Without it, there is no redemption. There is no rebirth. It says, he has begotten us again. In other words, we have been reborn. The Bible says, or people have said, well, born again, it's not really a biblical term, but this is what it means. Excuse me, it is a biblical term. We have been reborn. And it was Jesus. We've been reborn through the blood of Jesus. Has begotten us again to a living hope. That's a new hope, a better hope, a living hope. In Christ, there can only be victory. We arise with him. When we get saved, when we are born again, we arise to victory with him. He is in victory. He is triumphant, and we arise with him triumphant. And if that hope, if we believe that hope, and we trust in that hope which is alive, what have we got to fear? It dispels fear. It casts out the unbelief. There is no root for the strategies of Satan in your life. You have a voice and you have authority. Why? You have risen with Christ, triumphant. We arise with Christ. When he led captivity captive, we were amongst them. The chains were broken off and carried away. Jesus carried your chains, and he carried your chains away. The chains that spelled defeat in your life have been broken. They've been carried off. They've been carried away. Jesus, in the power of the resurrection, has defeated your enemy and has carried off your chains and broken the chains. Instead, he has handed you a banner which declares one of hope in that I am an overcomer. And because of this great hope, we can accomplish and we can overcome. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God bless you. Hope. He is hope for the hopeless this morning. He is help to the helpless. He is power to the powerless. Life to the lifeless. Friend to the friendless. Father to the fatherless, mother to the motherless, wealth to the penniless. He became sin so you would be sinless. He took your pain so that you would be painless. He was broken for your wholeness. Hallelujah. This is the hope of glory that dwells within you if you believe. This is the message that the world needs to hear, that there is a hope. Amen. That's greater than the governmental system. That's greater than the kings and kingdoms and presidents and anything that money can buy. There is a hope that transcends and surpasses all of it. All of it, and it belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's such a simple message, isn't it? But when we get revelation of the hope of glory that dwells within us, there should be a jumping up and down in our spirit. There should be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, leaping and bounding around your home, around your circumstances, that there is nothing that can keep you down and underneath the strategy of Satan set against you. Rather than look to the strategy of Satan that's set against you, the Bible says there has been a hope set before you. There is a hope set before you. Let's read it. Go back to Hebrews or if you're still in Hebrews 7, I think it's 18. Hebrews 6:18. But by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before you. You see, hope. There are hopeless people all around. And at times, the hopeless will try to cloud out the voice of the Spirit of God inside you. But when, and it says it here, it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And it says, here's the consolation, even though that you have fled, you might have fled for refuge because of the circumstances, because of the hopelessness all around, take note, don't settle and view the hopelessness. Don't you wallow in this point here, which is hopeless. Look to the hope that's set before you. And if you can keep constant in knowledge of the hope that's set before you, whether you have circumstances, it's immaterial. It's almost irrelevant because you believe the promise. The Bible says about Abraham that he hoped against all hope, contrary to hope, even when it was hopeless. When it was hopeless, he hoped in hope. Not just the wishy-washy kind of hope. It was he had a knowledge of the Lord. He had a knowledge of a Savior. He had a knowledge of ahead of time of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he chose to believe, and it was accounted for him for righteousness, the Bible says. Hallelujah. This hope we have, verse 19, is an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast. Amen. You know, when we read and look at the history programs about the Second World War, we read about the French resistance. And the French resistance, you know the story. We had occupied France. There was the French army was basically dissipated, and they were occupied. So the French resistance were basically doing their best to work alongside, covertly, with the Allies to try and hinder, to try and impact and impede the advancement of this empire, this German Nazi empire. All right. Now, what do you think was behind the movement or this spirit of the French resistance? Would you think there was a hope maybe someday, we could be reunified and we could have liberation? And that was maybe like a casual, wishy-washy hope. I am sure that resistance was propelled by a fuel called hope that had connected to it a creative force of expectation, a knowledge that we are going to do everything in our power to see this come to pass. And I am hopeful with a conviction that one day there is going to be liberation for my nation and for my country. Okay? Hope is a fuel. Okay? And we look at the combustion engine. Any kind of... We've got an electrician, they don't count. Only joking. Okay, so we have in any combustion engine... Here we go. Education for the ladies. Only joking. For the kids, I was going to say. Education here is we have fuel, which is petrol or other, okay? And for that fuel to become rich enough to ignite in a certain contained environment, let's call it a chamber, it's not enough just to set a match to it. It needs to be mixed with something. Does anyone know what that is? The fuel is mixed with... There has to be something else. Come on. Oxygen, air, right? So this fuel together with oxygen, forced together or coupled together in this chamber, creates and atmosphere. Fuel, hope is the fuel. The air is the Holy Spirit. And the mix of this fuel and the Holy Spirit, whatever that circumstance might be, whatever the immovable object might be, whether it's your life, the nation, the world situation, the political status quo, whatever it might be. When that atmosphere is, correct atmosphere is created, what is it? All it takes is that's the smallest spark. If you saw this in a lab condition, it would be, you would be amazed. You have fluid, and this air, and the smallest spark, doesn't need a match, the smallest spark, and it's an explosion, a power that you cannot contain. And it's powerful enough in an engine to push that piston, to move that immovable object, which is a camshaft and wheels or whatever, the mill, whatever that power was required to be transformed into, it moved it. I want to tell you, when you have hope in your life, not just the wishy-washy kind of hope, but when you have an understanding that the Lord Jesus dwells within you, and it's Jesus, the hope of glory, that he dwells within you, that when you allow that mix of the air being the Holy Spirit to attach itself and mix to that hope, there is going to be an explosion in the spiritual realm, which is powerful and strong enough to move the immovable. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe it? There is hope for all. Hope is not reserved for pastor. Their hope is for all who receive and have been resurrected together with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is alive, and because he lives, we have a living hope. Turn with me, and we're going to close in a few minutes to Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. But at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is a state many people live in. They have no hope, because the only hope worth discussing this morning is the hope of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. And without Jesus today, if you're here, and you use the words, I believe in Jesus, casually, wishy-washy, but he is not really transferred to becoming that hope in your life, then really what we're dealing with is a situation where you have multiple choice of gimmicks and wishes and sticky plasters and band-aids to help you eke your way through life. But the promise is, if you receive Jesus Christ, this is not a sales pitch. It really isn't. This is truth. If you will receive Jesus Christ, he is your hope eternal, now for and forever after. It goes on to say, but now, look at that word, underline that word now. But now, that his power is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But now in Christ Jesus, you, that's us, he's talking to somebody this morning, you who were far off have been made near by the blood of Jesus. Amen. There's never a dead end. There's always hope. There's never an easy way out. There's always hope. There is hope for the hopeless this morning. If the world around you speaks and shouts and screams hopelessness, well, I want to scream hope louder. Hope. Let it ring out. Let it resound. Let it chime through the rooftops. There is a hope for us to shout out, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Titus 1 verse 2, it's in hope of eternal life, which God, like here we have it again, this is the confidence that we have. It's in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, that's the second time we read it, God who cannot lie, promised it before time began. The hope of eternal life. We sing a song, we sang it today, and I will rest in your in your promises. I'm confident. There's another one that's like it. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. This is my confidence. We can have confidence even in the face of anguish or despair or whatever. We can still hope against hope, just as Abraham did. He hoped without wavering because he believed the promise. He believed the promise. God is not a man that he should lie. Why do we doubt the promise? If God cannot lie and there's a hope set before us, should we just choose to believe the lie? Or even logic tells us, believe the hope. Right? Believe the hope. It's set before you. It's an anchor to the soul. It's sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope in Jesus is a tangible thing. Romans 4, verse 17 and 18. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, and contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that Abraham the father, or became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. Hallelujah. And lastly, Song of Solomon. And this is a figurative passage. It's speaking of Jesus, the beloved, speaking to the bridegroom, the church. Let me just turn to it. And he's calling us to arise. Song of Solomon 2. My beloved spoke, that's the Lord, and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard once again in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes. They give off a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For me, that's, he's just talking about hope. That's hope encapsulated. Oh, the Lord is saying, rise. Arise this morning, church. Take a second glance at the hope that I have given you. This is a new season. The winter is over when you believe and choose to believe in hope. Look before you. Don't look behind. Look at the hope that's set before you. Look at the buds. Even the turtle dove has returned again to the land. Let today be the start of a new hope, a better hope, one that speaks of a living hope that transcends all circumstance, all anguish, all despair. And let it dispel the hurt and the shame and the brokenness that many of you have had to experience time and time again amid season after season after season. Before you, there is set a hope this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.